From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made when two young men decided to learn a new skill, embroidery. The men were part of a new internship program made possible by the Center for Youth's Learn to Earn program. They were working at a local company called Imprintable Solutions, a printing and promotional products business. Its president, Tina Paradiso, made it her mission to bring in young men and women who were disconnected from the workforce to provide training and life skills. Early last year, Tina was a guest on a podcast called For the Evolution of Business, hosted by the co-founder of the Rochester chapter of Conscious Capitalism, Andrew Brady. Paradiso told Brady that about her program that uplifted 18 to 24-year-olds in particular who had barriers to finding sustainable work. These talented young people were dealing with issues like pregnancy, parenting, sometimes it was the lack of a high school diploma, refugee status, past gang affiliation, and more. And Tina says she has seen lives transformed by the internships. She said on that podcast, quote, "Lives can change in a millisecond," end quote. Imprintable Solutions is just one local company that has made it its mission to help people disconnected from the workforce. A second, Miss Julie's School of Beauty, is a faith-based cosmetology school that aims to offer training to survivors of human trafficking and people who have all kinds of challenges in their lives leading to the kinds of barriers that we've talked about. Finding work can be very, very difficult. Well, this hour we're going to hear from leaders and trainees at both organizations about how their work is changing lives and adhering to a conscious capitalism model that we have discussed many times on this program. And I'd like to welcome them now. Tina Paradiso is president of Imprintable Solutions. Tina, welcome. Thank you for being with us. And Brianna is a team member at Imprintable Solutions. Hi, Brianna, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Good. Yeah, thanks for making time for us. Julie Chappas is director and instructor at Miss Julie's School of Beauty. Welcome. Nice to see you here in studio.
Hi, thank you, Evan.
And Noelle is going to be a trainee there. Nice to see you. Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
All right, so there's a lot to talk about here, Tina, but let's just start with the lives changing. You said on the podcast, lives can change in a millisecond. Tell us what you've seen.
Correct. Ooh, wow, I've seen a lot. You know, one of our initial interns, he was a young man who was completely disconnected from education, from sustainable employment. He certainly had his side hustle. He was affiliated. Within 9 months, he went from completely disengaged to he was never late for work. He was studying to get his high school equivalency, got his driver's license, got a car. And it was a very short period of time. That was in 9 months. And that was impact to me. That was pretty transformational.
So when you think about people, especially in that 18 to 24-year-old age category who have various barriers, we've talked about everything from, banning the box, to pushing employers to think about hiring people who have struggled with poverty and other disadvantages. How would you describe your mission here, Tina?
Our mission is to uplift others. I think everybody deserves an opportunity. We don't check the box. We follow Grayson Industries open hiring model. At the end of the day, it's a population of young people who I believe have slipped through the cracks. They may not know that the resources are available. Once they find resources, they may not know how to engage fully with them. You know, here there's an opportunity to learn, grow, be, stretch, those sorts of things. And at the end of the day, we end up with young people that are, we find that they're super creative, they're engineers, they're electricians, they're supervisors, and they don't know it yet. So when you show something different, they have the opportunity to see something different and work within it. And it's really awesome to see learning what life skills you have and taking those and turning them in a different way. And maybe in a positive way or a more positive way or a way to go forward.
You feel like society, well, we know those barriers exist, mm-hmm. but do you feel like there is a message sent to people who, you know, take, for example, we've talked to leaders in the city of Rochester who've worked with people who have had past gang affiliations, for example.
Yep.
And, it all of a sudden it's like there is a judgment that isn't just
Correct.
About where a person is at that moment in their life, it becomes a fixed kind of a mark on a person's life and resume that says no matter how much you change, no matter how much you work to try to get past where you have what you have been through, We may not let you. And I'm curious to know what you see in terms of the impact there.
I do think that's something that I don't want to call it common. I don't have statistics on it. I can't speak for others. I can only speak for what I've seen and other business owners that I've spoken to. You know, when you open your mind a bit and work outside that box, like not put people in a box, not put yourself or your business or your company in a box, the company has the opportunity along with its team to grow exponentially. So, yes, there are people that, you know, I have a past, I have a story. My young people have a past, have a story. And we're constantly judged by it, by others. And I don't think it needs to be that way. I don't think it should be that way. You know, if you take somebody who has been affiliated or reentry, and maybe inside that organization, they may have been a leader, they may have been a mentor. Will they get to continue? They should have the opportunity to get to continue to do that, you know, in a for-profit company or in a nonprofit or environment or for their community. I think as you're working through things and you start to uplift others, it's okay to have those experiences because you can build on that. You can just build differently. And I think as business owners and small business owners in particular, I think, and I'm going to be very bold about this, that we have a commitment to the community that we're in and that we serve. And I believe everybody can be doing this type of work. And I think we need to stop being judgmental because we all have our stories and we all have our backgrounds and our past and our baggage and our skeletons. And it doesn't make one person better than another. It just means we have different life experiences. So if we were just to say, okay, this young person was affiliated, right? And within that affiliation, they may have been a mentor. Well, what can we do to grow those experiences so that they can use it in a more positive way? So that, you know, maybe we can have an impact on violence, on gun violence, on those sorts of things, to keep moving people in a positive direction, to keep people alive, that sort of thing. But we as small business owners, I believe we should be committed to that as a whole.
We're going to talk about Brianna and her experience coming up, and we're going to talk to Julie Chappis as well in just a moment here for Julie's perspective on how she sees her role in this community. But let me just press one more point here, Tina, because when you say you want to sort of make a bold statement aimed at maybe fellow business owners, for me, what it recalls for me is, this could be 5 years ago now, Bob Duffy, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, challenged, the chamber was part of a challenge to local businesses to hire at least one person who was living in poverty. And, you know, a couple of things about that. I don't know that it went anywhere. I never heard anything more about it beyond the launch of it. Second of all, I understand the goal. I mean, I think I understand maybe the noble goal of that. But I mean, hiring somebody shouldn't just be sort of a charity project. I think there's an actual benefit when you hire talented people who have gone through more adversity than someone like me, because they have been through the fire and they can bring so much to an organization. It's not just a charity. So I'm not denigrating the effort, but I never heard anything more about it. And I wonder if it was maybe not a fully developed idea. What do you think?
I don't ever remember hearing about it, and I've been in business 8 years. And I agree with you. It resonates with me. You know, it shouldn't be a charity, quote unquote, thing. You know, oh, let's hire somebody in poverty. How about we hire a human being? We give them the opportunities that they need, a pay that they can work within. How about we help uplift them? Transportation is a major challenge in our city. So, you know, for us at Apprentable Solutions, we provide a lot of things for our team members that don't cost our team members anything, such as transportation, such as emergency child care, on-site tutoring, lunch and learns, full kitchen, washer, dryer, full bathroom. Those are the things that, you know, will make our team and myself more comfortable throughout the day, right? It's not about charity. It's about working with other human beings and let's uplift each other. So to say hire one person in poverty, do you know what poverty looks like in this city and what the working poor look like in this city? So we need to be hiring humans and helping humans over barriers, because we have a lot of barriers. We have a lot of barriers to our social systems, our economic systems, our housing systems. And as an employer, I want a successful team. I have a successful team, and I support the successful team.
Julie Chappas, director and instructor at Miss Julie School of Beauty. It's great to have you in studio here.
Thank you, Evan.
Tell us what the mission is behind what you're doing and maybe what the timeline is.
Right, sure. So we are the first of its kind in the entire nation. When I say that, I'm careful because in Seattle, Washington, there's a guy named Matthew Fairfax that opened Justice and Soul. And he does a cosmetology program, and they're very blessed and fortunate where they can bring in people from traffic programs, and they can train on an apprenticeship basis. So they have a model for all the states that do issue licenses, state licensure, through apprenticeship. Now, there are many states that do not do that, New York being one of them. And so there is no model right now to get our human traffic survivors trained in cosmetology short of, you know, them going to whatever is available here that's for profit and they're charged tuition. And you can't really take a girl off the streets, Evan, and ask her for $15,000. And, you know, it just it doesn't work. You're putting somebody in debt that already doesn't have that kind of money. And so I love that we were just hearing about what you were just talking about with the previous guest, because, you know, I really see a huge, huge need for state licensure. And I love that there's job opportunities for, like, you know, ex-gang members and the incarcerated and all of these things. But when we're dealing specifically with survivors, what I have found is there is a traumatic past, very traumatic. And every time, you know, one of these girls goes to get a job, there are job interviews, and there's usually been some kind of arrest made because of drug possession, prostitution. Employers see that. They might just say, no, we don't even want to interview, or they'll put a girl through the interview and ask her really uncomfortable questions, and then you're having to describe this traumatic past every time you're trying to get a job. And it's just, I mean, what people don't understand is, you know, the survivors, they kind of want to have a hope and a future. And so Miss Julie School of Beauty is here to offer that hope and a future where your past, it will not keep you from a beautiful future, honestly. And so the reason why we wanted to start this school is because there are a lot of certificate programs out there, but there's no standard in the industry. So if Company X wants to give somebody a certificate, that's great for Company X. And if you want to work at Company X for all of your life, amen, it's going to be amazing. But if you go from Company X and you want to go to Company Y, Company Y may not recognize at all Company X's certificate, and they might require a certificate of their own. And you just get into this kind of, like, there's no industry standard. And so with state licensure, what state licensure will do for anybody, but especially our traffic survivors, is it erases the need for background checks. And here's why. When New York State issues a license, they do their own background checks on people. And when I've been dealing with the state, and they're very well aware of our school and what we want to do, and what we've been told by the state is if we have somebody that has a more severe felony, somebody that might have more than just prostitution or drug possession, because the state overlooks that, they are not of the mindset that we want to stand in somebody's way of a second, third, even fourth chance at life, you know. But if you get somebody that was hurt or weapons were involved, what we can do at my school is we call the state, we say we want to request a hearing, and the state can literally call the, you know, the sentencing judge that sentenced our girls, and they can find out from the trafficking program, such as Bright Star Community right here in Rochester, New York, and they see how far the girls have come, what they've been doing, and from there they can issue me a yes or no whether this person will or will not be issued a license. So we're not putting a girl through an entire program and then saying at the end of that program, sorry, you're not going to be issued a license. Now, because New York State puts us through this and they do their own background check, When we receive that license from New York, you can go into any salon in all of New York State.
You don't have to go through that whole process again.
You don't.
Which can be difficult to get work for.
Exactly.
Anyway, let alone re-traumatizing.
Exactly.
Why for you, why are you so keenly interested in helping, specifically helping, human trafficking victims,
okay.
survivors?
Yeah, sure, Evan. So I'll just keep that real short. I'm a praying woman, and I had an experience that I would call a vocational calling. And I literally saw Miss Julie's School of Beauty, and I saw my employers working specifically with traffic survivors. And I feel very strongly in my faith, and, you know, it is God's heart to break women out of a cycle that is keeping them in poverty and bondage. And cosmetology is an absolute way out of it. And I get the question all the time, Evan, well, what if somebody doesn't want to do hair? What if they don't want to do nails? I don't think the general public is really aware that when you get this license, there are so many opportunities. Like, let's say we have somebody that loves sales. They're a great salesperson. There's all kinds of color companies out there, like Goldwell. You know, we're going to be a Powered by Goldwell school. But there's Wella, there's Joico, and they're always looking for cosmetologists to be their sales reps, where they go in, they sit down with salons, they can talk about the color line. They don't ever have to do hair a day in their life if they don't want to. There are so many opportunities with this license that will just... I mean, it's a game changer. It really is a game changer, and there's no school like it yet. So we really want to provide this model, because I feel like wherever state licensure is concerned, it could flip over into the automotive industry, easily replicable in the food industry. There's so many things where state licensure is included that we can do this. So, Evan, we're in the process right now where we have absolutely everything in place. We've been talking with senators. We've been talking to our assembly men and women. We've got so many people that are behind this, but we are still in search of a building, and we need serious funding, because in order to be, an accredited school by the state, we need to be a thriving school for 2 years. And after that 2-year process, we can become accredited.
Okay. So that's the plan, at least.
Yep.
And that's the vision that you have.
Yes.
How many people do you think you can help?
Well, you know, depending on our building, because the state does have their very specific requirements. But if we can get a building that's about, 7,000 square feet, we would be able to do about 30 students at a time.
30 students at a time. And as we have found on this program through the years, talking to survivors and talking to people who work with survivors, it doesn't always look like what the average person in the public might think human trafficking looks like.
That's correct. That's correct. And, I didn't want to just steam ahead because I had this great vision from God and wanted to just open the school. I really wanted to dive in and find out from survivors, what do they really, truly need? And so this is why I was so excited to bring Noelle today, because she was one of my main girls that really helped me figure out the model of the school and what would work, because you're correct. There is trauma therapy that people go through. They're going through all kinds of different, doctor visits, and there's things that would prevent them from going to just a straight up Continental or Empire. They wouldn't be able to do those kinds of schedules. So the beautiful thing about our program is, after talking to survivors, we found that we can tell the state, okay, we're open from 9 to 9, but within that 9 to 9 range, we could do a program from 9 to 1. We could do one from 1 to 5. We could do one from 5 to 9. And then, our girls have the options of how quickly they get that license. It's a 1,000-hour program. That's a required mandate by the state. But that being said, we can have the girls take 17 months if they need to, or they could take 8. It's totally up to them.
Well, and so I want to hear from Noelle and Brianna, who are with us this hour, I think to share their hopes now as we talk about these organizations, these businesses that are doing a lot of work in our community to say that they want to be an open door place for anyone who has been through the kinds of things that you think would prevent you from finding work, or frankly, that society will tell you that you're not going to find work for various reasons. Noelle, let me just ask you, how are you doing these days? How are you?
I'm doing really well. I think since I started Bright Star, my life has completely changed and changed for the better. I started doing classes at Bright Star, and they're like all therapy based. And so I'm working on my life every single day to further my future. I've started visiting with my daughter, and so that reconnection has been like the best thing in my life. I think, you know, when I was out on the streets, that was one of the things that really ate at me and really, I think, kept me down, you know. So reconnecting with her has been my biggest feat, you know, since I've came back. And, you know, so now I've started working, and, you know, I just finished my trauma therapy, and you know, I'm working on bigger, better things.
So. And you see a future.
Yes, yeah. I do.
Let me ask you a general question, and I want to do this with sensitivity, because as Noelle and I talked before the program, you know, Noelle is not necessarily here to share a detailed backstory of trauma that she's been through, and she deserves to have the space to control what part of your story you keep to yourself, et cetera. So let me ask you a general question.
Sure.
You know, when you talk about reconnecting with your daughter and seeing a future, and I see you brighten up when you do that, and that's a really powerful thing to feel. You know, for people who are a little maybe more cynical or skeptical about, or maybe not understanding what, as Julie said, usually girls or young women are going through, what do you think they misunderstand the most, Noelle? And for people who would say, well, if you didn't like being on the streets, get off the streets. People say, go get a job, et cetera. What do you think people misunderstand the most about that?
It's not as black and white. And I say that all the time because I've been out there. I mean, it's hard because it's like a black hole when you're out there. You get out there and you lose everything. It's like you lose yourself and you can't find your way out. So when people say that, instead of supporting the people and trying to help them, it's really hard when people just judge you and they kick you while you're down. I think that's the hardest thing about being out there. It's not just like, oh, okay, let's go get a job, because how can you get a job when you're filthy and, you know, you have no clothes and stuff like that. So it's not just as black and white as people want to make it out to be, you know. I really liked what the woman said in the beginning of the program, you know, if we really gave a helping hand to these people and gave them a chance, you know, I think things would be a lot differently. So
yeah, and for you know, to Julie's point about the misunderstanding that people may have about human trafficking generally, It can be as severe as something that looks like modern day slavery, but it can also be girls and young women who essentially are homeless, don't have any resources whatsoever, may not have family, may be struggling with addiction, and you know, sort of fall into a desperation of trying to find a way to survive. And so it doesn't always look the same from case to case to case, but what is pretty consistent is what Noelle is talking about, the challenge that there can be to get out of that sort of cycle. How do you feel like when you think of yourself in 5 or 10 years now, what do you see now?
Well, I see myself, you know, having a good career. I'm really excited about Miss Julie's School of Beauty. I was just telling her before the program, that I'm really excited because, She actually just did my hair blue, and and my daughter was just asking me about it, but I'm really excited because I'm excited to experiment with her hair when she gets older. So, yeah, you know, I see myself with a house and a career and having my daughter back in my house. You know, all the things that I thought I could never have, you know, all the stuff that kept me down. And I am so happy because I believe in myself today. That's something I could not say a year and a half ago. You know, I trust in my instincts and I am motivated and I'm standing on my own two feet. And that is powerful in itself.
Remarkable. Anything you want to add there? I mean, does that make you probably proud about the mission here, Julie?
I know, I'm actually tearing up because I love Noelle. You know, when I met her, part of what I was telling you about earlier, Evan, was I was going to the trafficking programs. And so Sue Kirby at Bright Star Community has wonderful homes. And she really is very, very helpful with the girls, where she's been doing street ministry for years, just going out on the streets and just offering, I have a safe place. And for a lot of the girls, and Noelle could even tell you, sometimes it takes years for somebody to trust Sue enough mm-hmm. to want to go to the home to see, is it really safe or what's really in there waiting for me? Mm-hmm. I mean, it can be very, very scary for these girls to trust.
You can understand why.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, part of the things that I found with some of these girls is, honestly, they would be offered places to stay, but it was on conditions where you show up and all you got to go to the bedroom and perform. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, this is not like what Noelle was saying. It's not black and white. It is so hard for people just to get off the streets, you know, when all that's being offered to you is places to stay from predators that want to keep you down and keep you in the situation you're stuck in. And, yeah, so I'm just overwhelmed with Noelle, because when she actually decided to trust Sue and go into Bright Star, and Noelle's done all of the work. It's not Sue, it's not me. Nobody did this. Noelle chose that she was going to trust, and Noelle chose to do the therapy and the hard work it was going to take to get beyond where she was. But she did it, and she's sitting here now today, and it's just overwhelming to me because we see the transformation that, like, people that are really in it to truly help somebody, we can all do this together. It's a together and a we problem. It's not a her problem. It's not a me problem. It's an all of us problem. And I think, like what the girl was saying earlier, us all working together, we can just do so much good.
After we take our only break of the hour, we're going to bring back Tina Paradiso, and we're going to talk to Brianna, who's a team member at Imprintable Solutions, about some of Brianna's story. And as we go throughout this program, you know, I want to just remind you that some of these organizations and businesses are at different places in their evolution. You know, Tina Paradiso and the team at Imprintable Solutions has a track record now. They're doing what they're doing. But for someone like Julie Chappas, it's a question of having a vision, but then, you know, Soria, how do you put that into reality? And she's certainly looking for, I think, some help from New York State in different ways here. Not only funding, which could come from different mechanisms, including the state, but also maybe a change, as she mentioned, with licensure, which could make life very different for people who have been victimized and who are survivors and who maybe fear being re-traumatized every time they look for a different employer. So really interesting and important stuff. And we're going to take that only break of the hour, and we'll come right back to their stories here on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, wherever you're going next, whether it's going to work, going out into the community, maybe you're going to a school somewhere else, ask yourself, how is the building that I'm entering heated and cooled? What is the energy source? Is it fossil fuels? Probably. But what if all of that changed? There's a new initiative seeking to do just that, and we'll explain how next hour.
This is Veronica Volk from WXXI News, and we've got a new weekly podcast for you. It's called Earshot, and it's got all the most important, best told, sometimes off the beaten path news stories from your favorite WXXI and city reporters. Earshot comes out every Friday, Don't miss it. Subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.
This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. What does it really mean to be an employer that is open to helping and serving everyone in the community? What does it mean to be an employer who has no closed doors or barriers and being willing to hire people who are qualified no matter where their life has taken them and what they've been through and what they have survived? It doesn't always work out that way. And you heard that from Tina earlier this hour. You heard Julie talking about her vision for Miss Julie's School of Beauty. Noelle's remarkable story, I think, is an indicator that if you give up on somebody, shame on you, because there's so much there. There's so much potential in every person. It's just a question of what does society do to allow people to stand up again? Tina Paradiso, before we talk to Brianna, anything you want to add to after hearing Noelle's remarkable story there?
I think the work that she's doing is commendable and remarkable, and it's cutting edge, right? One of the things that we need are change makers and way makers, individuals that are bold enough to stand up, think differently, do differently, only because it has been status quo for way too long. And it's time for those of us who have different visions to step up. And what's the worst that's going to happen? How many times have we been heard no in our past, right? So anybody that's willing to step up and get behind others and work with humans, all of us humans, I think it's commendable. I think it's outstanding.
Well, you want to tell us a little bit about Brianna before we talk to her and remind our listeners who are just joining us what Imprintable Solutions is?
So Imprintable Solutions, we're a service that's of service to our community. We do printing, promotional products, and decorated apparel. That's what we do, the tactile piece of it. But what we really believe in is uplifting young people between the ages of 17 and 24 who are disconnected, at-risk, opportunity young people. And Brianna's been with me, I want to say, 2.5 years. She's an amazing human being. She has her story. She's done amazing things, and I really enjoy watching her grow and move into different positions and situations, and just she's done incredible things and made incredible strides.
Well, Brianna, tell us a little bit about what you know, what was going on in your life before you met Tina, and what kind of brought you there.
Okay, so I just wanted to firstly say that I just think that your story is amazing, Noelle. I just wanted to shout that out real quick.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to say that basically what happened, I had this church friend, and I was going to church for about 6 years, and she ended up connecting me to a program because I was homeless at the time. And I ended up finding a program called Center for Youth, and they got me into a shelter. And then also after that, I also met Tina through that program. So that was an amazing part of that. And I got out of a shelter. I got, you know, into a place, and now I'm working here, and I'm a supervisor. I know how to do everything in this building. And I've learned embroidery to the littlest things of doing laundry. I couldn't even do laundry. So, you know, the littlest things, she will literally make sure you know how to do everything here. And one of the things that Noelle said, she said that, you know, people can't go into jobs without, you know, clean clothes and, you know, if you don't have childcare or things like that. And that's one of the best things about this job is that you can come here with no clothes, not obviously not no clothes on your back, but, you know, dirty clothes, no shoes, whatever it is. You don't have childcare, you don't have food, you don't have anything you don't have. She will make sure that you have it so you are able to work so you can better your life. That's what she wants to do.
Brianna, you know, you heard Noelle talk about how when you are at maybe the darkest points of your life, you start to lose yourself or certainly lose a vision of who you think you are and what you want to be and what a future may look like. And, you know, I mean, every person's situation is different, but I am curious to know if you can just share a little bit about, you know, when you're living in a shelter or when you're homeless, what, if you are thinking about a future at all, is there a vision for that at all? Or is it sort of every day to day? in that moment?
It's definitely day to day. Definitely. I can 100% say that. It's never week to week, month to month. You're going to be thinking every day there might be a change. You might get an opportunity where you'll be able to go somewhere, or something bad might happen and it might ruin that opportunity. But the biggest thing is you just have to keep moving, take steps, write down what you want to do so that you can complete those goals. And my biggest thing is honestly my kid. He drove me to, you know, do better because I was pregnant at the time. So he was mainly, you know, my goal. I wanted to do better for him. I wanted to be a good mom and show him that I wasn't going to give up.
How old is he now?
He's actually 4 years old, and I have a 1-year-old also.
How are they doing?
They're doing so great.
Do you think about them, and do you feel like you can be the mom that you want to be, the person you want to be, and maybe kind of a role model for them?
Yes, definitely. Especially because of the trials and tribulations I've been through. I feel like if I didn't go through the situation that I went through, like the shelter and everything, I wouldn't be the person I am today. I wouldn't be as strong. So I'm actually grateful that those things happened to me.
Mm. And Brianna, I want to ask you something that is not meant to be political. I don't think this is a political statement. But my observation hosting this program is that when we have these kinds of discussions, there are some listeners who think there are too many people in society who don't want to work. Now, I suspect there are some people who would be happy not working much, but I don't think there's much. And I think there's way too much stereotyping that people don't want to work. They don't want to go out and try to get jobs, et cetera. And can you give me a sense for how it feels now to feel like you do have respect, a chance to work, a chance to build a future, versus this stereotype that some people just don't want to work?
Right. And that stereotype in some way is kind of true, because I do know people that really want to sit on their butt all day and not do nothing. But there is other people like me and, you know, everybody. There's people that actually want to have a career and want to work. And my opinion on that is that you just have to find those type of people that want to do those things. Just like how Tina brought it up. We have ex-cons here. We have, you know, people who didn't even have a car. You know, there's certain situations that people were going through and they still got through it and they still wanted to work. So I feel like it's not even about the person. It's about getting through to that person and, you know, trying to talk to them and try to see what their goals are and get them to that place so they could be, you know, ready to work. Because if you don't get your personal problems down first, you're not going to be able to do a good job at your job.
Yeah, and I'd love to ask you and Noelle about what advantage you may be able to bring to any employer that you have in the future, present or future, because of what you have been through. The fact that you've been through so much in your life already at a young age, when very likely the people who are running companies haven't probably been through that level of adversity and that level of sort of a personal emergency. Having been through that now, what does that do for you, Brianna?
Well, I would say the biggest thing is it gave me, I'm so terrible, but I'm trying to think of this word. It gave me basically like a chance to think that I can actually do this. Like, no matter what I'm going through, I can still learn new things and be able to, you know, maybe run a company one day, or you never know. Like, it's all about, I can't think of that word. I'm sorry. I'm trying to think of a certain word. But
I think you're expressing yourself beautifully. I mean, I think I'm hearing what you're saying. You seem to be saying that.
Yes.
When you're up against it, you know you've been through worse, right? And you know, you'll never have to wonder, Brianna, if you can accomplish hard things or if you can get over a difficult obstacle, because probably nothing in front of you will be as hard as what's already behind you, I would think.
Yes, thank you so much. That explained it so well.
Noah, how do you feel about that same question?
I really like what she just said, but I think my strength, I'm very resilient, and you know, I'm able to work really hard for what I want. You know, I'm not gonna let anyone take away from my future ever again. You know, no one's gonna hold me down, and I'm going to make sure that my future is bright, like it's supposed to be.
Yeah, my observation, Tina Paradisa, my observation is that when someone has had to work hard to literally survive, work hard to find a place to live, let alone work hard at whatever work they're doing at the moment, they have built in a survivability, a resilience, to take Noelle's word, and a work ethic that will be, I think, extremely powerful, Tina.
I absolutely agree with that. You know, the young people that we have here, they're diligent. They do work hard. They strive hard. You know, and there's a piece to when you're in crisis and, you know, you're in tunnel vision, you could be literally living day to day, moment to moment, hour by hour. That builds in a lot of keep moving forward for survivability. And then once you have the opportunity to maybe have some quiet space, work on the trauma, work through the trauma, that skill set that you've been working on for survivability carries over into initiative. It's interesting. It's innate initiative. What can I be doing next? Hey, mm-hmm. Tina, did you want me to work on this next? Can I do that next? And, you know, if you've never had to continue to strive day to day for your food, your shelter, your clothes, you may not know to ask, what should I do next?
Mm-hmm.
But it's built in.
Yeah. So when I, in my teenagers, one of my very best friends, still to this day, one of my best friends, through a series of circumstances, family, his own life, his parents, he became homeless. I was away at college. He ended up just sort of living under the radar with me for a couple of years. And I remember thinking, if he can just get a chance somewhere, I am not going to worry about him for the rest of his life because he's so gifted and so determined. But getting in the door took a couple of years. I mean, anywhere. I'm talking about applying for jobs, applying for school, all kinds of things. The doors were so thick and locked, and it was really, really tough to see somebody go through that who I thought, this is one of the most talented people I know. And I know that when the door finally opens, he's going to walk through that and he's going to be good. And guess what? He's great. I mean, he's doing awesome in his life now. But it took a long time because of all of those circumstances. And Brianna, do you feel like, as much as we're talking on this program, everyone on this program, I think, sees the value in what Tina is doing and what Julie's doing and what employers who actually kind of have this mindset are doing. But I'm not sure how widespread that mindset is about potential workers and about people. I mean, do you feel like society cares about what you've been through generally?
I feel like parts of society cares, because I don't want to say, you know, none does, because there are certain people that do. But I just feel like there needs to be more companies like this one. That's my opinion. Like, I feel like there needs to be more companies that are willing to put it out there that I want to try to hire someone that might not be a good employee. They might not be, they might be, but I'll be able to help them in some type of way, even if they don't grow as a career here.
Noelle, do you feel like society cares about people like you, what you've been through?
Well, I guess I used to think that no one did. But then I met these ladies. I met Bright Star. I met all the people that came with Bright Star. And then I really realized I had a lot more support than I thought I did, you know. And I agree with what Brianna said. I'm not going to say that everybody cares, because just like you said earlier, you know, it's not everybody is going to understand what, you know, people are going through, you know, out on the streets and stuff like that. Some people have that black and white vision, you know, and, you know, there needs to be more places like Miss Julie's School of Beauty and where Brianna works. But, you know, that's hopefully in the future there will be.
Julie, do you feel like society cares about people like Noelle, people like Brianna?
Well, I do, because recently I've been talking to, like I said, assemblymen and women and senators, and there's people that are like, we want to support you, Goldwell. They are the most prestigious line in the hair industry, you know, and beauty industry, and they are doing everything for our school. When we get our building, they're setting up our sinks, our student stations, all of our colors, developers, everything free of charge. And then until we get accredited, all of my color developer shampoos will be free of charge. And so I'm getting these big companies that are coming behind us saying this absolutely has to happen. And these are people that, you know, they're running like $1 million. I mean, it's amazing what they've done with their own for-profit, you know. But yeah, the people that I've been talking to are like, absolutely. I mean, you'd almost have to have a heart of stone to not want to help these girls, you know. But, you know, I can't say that everybody, I mean, the people I've been talking to are certainly very encouraged about this and they want to be a part of it. So I've been seeing a lot of help coming out of the woodwork. We are, if I can just mention it, Evan, we are having an amazing event on November 5th at the Century Club. It's called Diamonds in the Rough because mm-hmm. our students are diamonds and we have models. We're doing a red carpet show. We are selling tickets on Eventbrite and MissJulieSchoolOfBeauty.org. But it's going to be dessert, champagne. You're going to see our models, you know, wearing clothing from some of the boutiques that help the trafficked survivors mm-hmm. and people for Dress for Success kind of thing. And, yeah, we would just love to see people out and to, you know, support us. And this money that is being raised at this fundraiser will help us to get that one step closer to getting this building so we can open because everything else is in place.
MissJulieSchoolOfBeauty.org.
Yep.
What's the date for the event?
It is November 5th at 7 p.m. at the Century Club.
Okay. And before I lose the hour, one more point for Julie and Tina in particular. You know, Julie, when you say you almost feel like people would have to have a heart of stone to not want to help.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine, and I've heard this sentiment before from employers who might say, hey, it's not that I have a heart of stone. I want Brianna and I want Noelle and I want everybody to do well, mm-hmm. but I have to protect my business and you can't tell me who I have to hire or not hire. And it's not that I don't care about them. It's just, I'm going to be very selective with hiring. So I want to know their past. I'm going to ask about their history and it may be disqualifying for me, but I don't have a heart of stone. I've heard that before from a lot of people. What would you say to that?
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, to each their own. You've got your business. You've done very well. You've built it to what you want. And you can employ who you want to employ. But there, you know, I think that if we step outside of just ourselves and understand there's a bigger issue going on, you know, maybe hiring isn't the way you help. But you could certainly get behind schools like mine and companies like Tina's and do an end of the year donation that's tax deductible. Do you know what I mean?
There's lots of ways to help. Is
There's
what you're
a
saying.
Lot of ways to help.
Tina Paradiso, what would you say to maybe to other employers who say, it's not that I don't care, but I'm going to be selective and careful here?
You know, and that's okay. And there's a fear of the unknown, right? And you can come to me and say, Tina, what about this? And what about that? And what about the other? You know, we've had zero instances of the unknown happening, of negative things happening, right? As far as, oh, productivity will go down. Actually, it went up. Oh, profitability will go down. Actually, it went up. You know, oh, we're going to have people steal. Nobody steals. Oh, we're going to have violence. There's been no violence. So, you know, all these fears of the unknown, they're just that, they're fears, number one. Number two, my sentiment to Julie as well is, you know, go ahead and back the businesses and the organizations that are actually doing the work. And then the third piece to that is, so, you know, we keep saying we're at the end of a pandemic and, you know, we certainly know that we have a shortfall in companies that, you know, they're struggling getting employees. So don't sit back there and tell me that you're having problems getting people to work for you if you're not going to open your mind, if you're not going to go outside that box, if you're not willing to try something new, because clearly what was working isn't working now. So maybe talk to the businesses who are doing the work. Become trauma-informed. Go do some research. Get involved with organizations like Urban League, Ibero, Center for Youth, Arkham and Rowe. There's a ton of organizations you can get involved with. So yes and no, but if you want to, that's fine, but go support those that are.
Okay, and Tina, last question for you is there anything that you want to see? I mean, we've talked about banning the box, which has been a policy idea in usually in municipalities and sometimes comes with controversy wherever it comes up. But are there other ideas or is there anything else you want to see government doing?
Oh, wow, that's a loaded question maybe for another day.
The list is too long.
Governments and municipalities, yeah, that one's really big. There are a lot of things that we can be doing government-wise, and one of them is, you know, even in hiring within the government. Do you really need a bachelor's degree to do data entry? Do you really need, like, I think everybody as a whole, government included. And you know what, when the government sets up programs to quote-unquote help, they put so many barriers in place that the people that they're saying they're targeted to help are actually cut out of that. Right? Oh, well, we're going to help you with this, but you need to go get A, B, and C first. Oh, but we want you to work 40 hours a week, mm-hmm. but you can't work 40 hours a week because it's going to take you 4 hours of transportation to go to Social Security, to go to the DMV, to go get your documentation, to do all of these things. So it becomes this vicious cycle and this vicious wheel. So how about we just take some of that stuff out of there, right? Why do we have to ask the question? Why can't, when we're sitting in front of an agency, a government agency that's there to help us, instead of saying, well, I need you to go get A, B, and C first. How about they have the tools to say, hey, let's pick up the phone and get this started for you so I can get you further on down the application to be of service to you.
Yeah.
I think we have a whole ton of apathy going on right now.
Well, I'm grateful for the conversation this hour. And Tina Paradiso, president of Imprintable Solutions.
Thank you,
Tina, for what you're doing and for sharing the story with us.
Thank you.
And Brianna, a team member there and a remarkable person sharing her story. Thank you, Brianna. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Julie Chappas, director and instructor at the forthcoming Miss Julie School of Beauty.
Thank you, Evan.
Stay in touch with us. Let us know how it's going.
Okay.
And Noel, I think you're kind of like my friend that I talked about way back in my college years. You've gone through that door, and I think there's a really great future for you now. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Evan.
More connections coming up.